Tonight's encouragement talk will be given by Leslie Gaiduco, Dharma teacher.
Thank you, Diane. Good evening, and welcome to day two of Sesshin, or what's left of day two. Diane had asked me to give you folks some words of encouragement. So this is maybe the time at Sesshin where things are starting to feel maybe a little raw, a little tender. Maybe not yet. Maybe some of you it was the first 24 hours. I'm feeling pretty tender and raw myself. That's what happens at Sesshin. The walls start coming down. And you start feeling open and vulnerable. And sometimes that can feel not so good. But the good news is it's what happens at Sesshin. It's good stuff. I got to tell you, this last couple of days, it just, you know, going over your head, I had the most perfect talks all figured out. And then when you get up here, you're like, what was I thinking? And a very wise teacher told me, those are stale stories. Those won't work. They won't work the night of the talk. How true. But one thing did stick with me is how much different aspects of Sesshin remind me of my job, what I do for a living, school. I'm a school teacher. So all the different things that we do, line leader. I'm like the envy of every first, second kindergartner in the world right now, being the line leader. Lunch being served to you. Rest period, you know, for pre-kindergarten kids. Nap time. Right now, that's probably my favorite time. So, yeah. A lot happening at Sesshin, even though, you know, when you're sitting on your cushion for the 100th hour, it seems, going, ah. But I start to realize things, there's a lot coming and going. Time eludes me. Big time. Sometimes it's not enough that 5 minutes before I gotta be ringing the bell, I've got like 5 million things to do. Or sometimes when I'm looking at the timer, it's still stuck on 3:13. I don't tell you guys how long it's been 3:13 for 2 days, it seems. So these are all tricks that happen to us in our minds. Maybe to you. I know they happen to me, obviously. So, wonderful Dharma talks and a wonderful encouragement talk with Fran last night made me think, you know, I'm still thinking about sentient beings. And how does this relate to this tenderness? How does all this come into play, at least for me? When I was reading In Sentient Beings Speak Dharma, some things caught my eye. And sometimes, a lot of times, I'm going to be honest, I'm reading Dogen and I'm just letting it flow over me. Because it's not like I can try to figure it out. So when I was reading these parts, some things really jumped out at me. So I'll share these parts with you and then I'll connect it to a koan that it made me think of. You hear the Dharma with complete power, complete mind, complete body, and complete way from before your parents were born, before the empty eon, through the entire future, the unlimited future. You can hear Dharma with your body first and mind last. Boy, oh boy, didn't that jump out at me? How many times my teacher has told me, you know, to think about or feel it in the body first. Get out of your head, in your body. I say that to myself a lot. If I'm dealing with a particular problem, go out of your head, in your body. Get out of my head. Get out of my head. Into my body. Don't think that you're not benefited by hearing the Dharma if it does not reach your mind consciousness. And I'm really like that. That's very forgiving to me. Letting me know that it's okay when I'm reading Dogen if I don't get it, so to speak. I'm going, okay, that's pretty nice. With no mind and no body, you should hear Dharma and benefit from it. So that reminds me a lot of entrusting. That even if I'm not getting it, I'm still getting something from it. And the words that kept playing over my head when I was reading this part too was, it's everything that I'm not thinking about. And if you're inside my head, you would be like, well, then what's left? Because all I do is think. I mean, the thoughts are just, scurry, 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 cat chatter, chatter, chatter in my head all the time. But when I was reading this, I said, well, that's simple, Leslie. It's just everything you're not thinking about. And I thought, wow. If I could stop thinking, how would I even know? When the effect of hearing Dharma is planted in the field of body and mind, it never decays. It is bound to grow and bear fruit. So when I looked in the book, because I scratch notes in my books, I saw that I had wrote, just like Tayshaun carrying his poles. And I'd be darned if how I know why or why I made that connection. So I went to the koan, and I'll share it with you. Case 13, Tayshaun, bowls in hand from the gateless barrier. The case. Tayshaun, one day, descended to the dining hall, bowls in hand. Zhui Feng asked him, where are you going with your bowls in hand, old teacher? The bell has not rung, and the drum has not sounded. Tayshaun turned and went back to his room. Zhui Feng brought this matter up with Yan Tao. Yan Tao said, Tayshaun's great as he is, doesn't yet know the last word. Hearing about this, Tayshaun sent for Yan Tao and asked, don't you approve of this monk? Yan Tao whispered his meaning. Tayshaun said nothing further. The next day, when Tayshaun took the high seat before his assembly, his presentation was different from usual. Yan Tao came to the front of the hall, rubbing his hands and laughing loudly, saying, how delightful! Our old boss has got a hold of the last word. From now on, no one under heaven can outdo him. So how did I relate this? And why I even did it? When the effect of hearing the Dhamma is planted in a field of body and mind, it never decays. It is bound to grow and bear fruit. I guess all I could see was Tayshaun, this unassuming, older, much older, Zen master, just moseying down to the dining hall with nothing more important to do but carry his bowls. And what I know of Tayshaun is vastly different in his younger years. So how did he get to this point where he was just gently, with nothing better to do but bring his bowls to the dining hall and to be corrected by someone? And it didn't faze him. He just turned and went back to his room. That was profound for me. So, will I ever get to that place in my life where if I'm corrected or if I think I'm just, doing my thing, just acting natural, and someone stops me and says, whoa, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. And I guess in my heart, I said, I aspire to that. And in here, these words kind of rang that for me. When the effect of hearing Dharma is planted in the field of body and mind, it never decays. It is bound to grow and bear fruit. Don't think that you're not benefited by hearing the Dharma if it does not reach your mind consciousness. So, Joy Fang, whoever he is, couldn't leave well enough alone. You know, it wasn't enough to have corrected Taishan, but then he brought the matter up to Yan Tao. And, you know, it appears that Yan Tao kind of is cutting Taishan down and saying, well, he doesn't really know the last word. But I think there's more going on here. Maybe a lesson for Joy Fang. Maybe even a lesson for Yan Tao, whatever his motives were. All the while, Taishan still doesn't know about this. But when he hears about it, he sends for Yan Tao. So, and he asks Yan Tao, don't you approve of this old monk? So, something about this makes me think he's not asking for verification. So I see him kind of in that realm that Kate was talking about. That there's something beyond being corrected, something beyond carrying his bowls to the dining hall. And that there's this whole other speech and communication going on. And Taishan's, again, still unassuming and doing his thing as Taishan. So I connected some of these parts of the sentient beings speaking the Dharma through this case, feeling some kind of connection with the characters in the case and what it might like be like to just be kind of humming along, doing your thing, walking kinhin, setting up your bowls, someone corrects you, and then you just, oh, you can relax. Thank you.